Well, we appreciate also our next broadcast partner. We're going to stay in Israel, coming over to Jerusalem now, talking with Rabbi Yoel Karen, who keeps us up to date on preparations to build the next temple on the Temple Mount, and also a focus on that very sacred piece of real estate. In fact, it's the most sacred piece of real estate in all of Judaism. We're talking about the Temple Mount, of course, and you might recognize it. If you see pictures of Israel, that Gold Dome building sits on the location where the first and second temples stood and where the next temple is going to stand as well. And that's why we have available Rabbi Yoel Karen to be one of our broadcast partners. Yoel, let me talk with you just a few moments. We want to get to Moshe Feiglin, a very good friend of yours who's a member of the Knesset. He went up onto the Temple Mount for the first time in a long time this last week. But I understand there is a debate going on in the Israeli Knesset. Now, that would be the legislative body of the Israeli government, and they're debating who's going to have the responsibility of controlling the Temple Mount, the actual sovereignty. Technically, you could say that Israel has sovereignty over the Temple Mount. Practically, they do not have that sovereignty, do they?
Right. The way it works, the status quo, I guess if you can call it, since 1967, has been that the Israelis maintain security control over the site, and all decisions regarding religious matters and practice up there are in the hands of the Islamic Trust, called the Waqf.
So then, therefore, the control is not in the hands of the Israeli government for true practical usage of the Temple Mount as this very sacred piece of real estate, and for the availability and ascension up onto the Temple Mount by the Jewish people who would like to go there. Talk to me about the debate going on in the Knesset. Is it coming along? And I'm sure it has already started people in the Muslim world getting very much upset. A report coming out of Amman, Jordan, that is the case. But how's the debate going, and what do you think the end result's going to be?
Well, you know, it's just one more piece of the puzzle. This is the kind of attention that we've been looking for many, many years. And we went along inch by inch by inch. And I always said, you know, things like this, eventually they reach a critical mass. Eventually there's this snowball effect. We're finally starting to see it. We're seeing the Temple Mount coming back into the news, back into the middle of the discussions in the Israeli parliament, in the Knesset, the highest levels of government, over and over again now. So it's not going to stop. And that's why eventually Netanyahu had to lift his ban on Moshe Feiglin going to the Temple Mount. So this is something that it's the more it's in the public's eye, the more the scrutiny is going to be on the government and what they're doing and their discriminatory practices against non-Muslims on the Temple Mount.
As I understand it, member of Knesset Moshe Feiglin, who is also the deputy speaker of the Knesset, now that's a high-ranking position in the Knesset, has not been able to go up onto the Temple Mount in almost a year. And he went up this last week for the first time. I read a report that he went to every corner of the Temple Mount. He prayed on the Temple Mount. He had access to the area where the temples stood in the past and will stand in the future. This was quite an achievement for this member of Knesset, was it not?
Yes, absolutely. Because you have to remember, we're talking about a man who basically vowed that if he ever becomes prime minister, on the day he becomes prime minister, the first thing he's going to do is go up to the Temple Mount and bow down and thank God in prayer and allow all Jews and all people, all Bible-believing people, to come and pray to God on that mountain.
So, indeed, him being able to go up there, what happened? How did he get an opportunity to be able to return to the Temple Mount as he has visited many, many times over the years?
Well, you know, as I said, the more the Temple Mount is in the public eye, the more it's being brought up and discussed in the halls of government, of the Israeli government, the more embarrassing it is to the prime minister that he's banned the deputy Knesset speaker from going to the place. Simply, all of this is in the hands of the prime minister, and it's whatever he thinks makes him look bad or good or suits his purposes or doesn't. For a long time, he thought that it suited his purposes to ban Feiglin and to keep him away. Now, it's starting to not look so good on him, and so it doesn't suit his purposes to keep him off, so he's letting him go again. That's all it comes down to. Every decision regarding the Temple Mount, it's not the police. They don't make the decisions. It all comes right to the top, to the Prime Minister's office.
Well, this is very, very interesting development. What about the Muslims up on the Temple Mount and the members of the Islamic Trust? Was there any response or reaction from them when Feiglin was able to go up there?
It's the usual. They're up in arms. The Jordanians are all up in arms because the truth is, you know, you would think that right now the Jordanians would be trying to keep the so-called Arab Spring out of their country and hold on to their kingdom and not be thrown over by Islamists. But instead, they still have, after all these years, they still have their eyes on expansion. They still want to expand their influence back into Jerusalem and have some sort of say and authority over the Temple Mount. They would love to take over the entire, what we call the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and reinstitute Jordanian citizenship and sovereignty over all of what we call the Palestinians. They would honestly like to push into parts of Saudi Arabia. They were the traditional owners and guardians of the tomb of Muhammad and his family, and that's all in Saudi Arabia, and it used to belong to the Hashemite family. They have expansionism. The king of Jordan is an expansionist, and that's what's on his mind. And that's what he's thinking about here. And any mention within the Knesset of Jews asserting Israeli sovereignty and the Israeli government asserting its sovereignty over that site is sort of a monkey wrench in their plans. So that's always going to be something to think about when you're looking at Jordan.
It's always interesting to see how the focus is on the Temple Mount, this very sacred piece of real estate. And it's going to be that way all the way to the end, according to Zechariah the prophet. In addition to that, however, there's a rabbi, another rabbi in Israel. His name is Rabbi Chaim Richman. He is one of the leaders in the Temple Institute making preparations to build that temple on the Temple Mount. And he said that Moshe Feiglin's visit onto the Temple Mount and being able to return to ascending up onto the Temple Mount was a great step forward towards the preparations to put that temple up there. I mean, this is really a very important move that has taken place.
Absolutely. The fact that Netanyahu is allowing Feiglin onto the Temple Mount means that essentially he's giving in to a certain aspect, a certain limited amount of Jewish prayer on the site, because he knows that when Feiglin goes up there, he's going to pray every single time. He's going to openly pray every time he goes there, and he can't be arrested because he has immunity as a member of Knesset. He can't be arrested. So he knows that, and that's why one of the reasons he kept him off so long. Letting him back on is officially saying, in some capacity, I'm going to allow Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount. And if that goes smoothly and the Arabs get used to it, then maybe we'll see a little bit of another few people, 2-3 Jews allowed to pray at a time, and it'll go from there. It's the exact same steps that they took when the Temple Mount was closed to non-Muslims for so many years, and they first allowed Jews back on. Originally, they said, you know, only 1 or 2 at a time. No one with a kippah on their head would be allowed up, a head covering. No one with a beard would be allowed up. No one with any of the fringes hanging outside would be allowed up. Bit by bit, they allowed 3-4 people up at a time. Next, they allowed people with a kippah but no beard. Then they allowed the kippah and the beard. Until now, there's, you know, you can go up there pretty much wearing and dressing however you want. So we're looking at the same thing will happen. Feiglin will be allowed to go up there and regularly pray. And then eventually another 2 or 3 people. And eventually we'll establish full Jewish prayer services up there. That's what I see coming, and probably within the next 2 years.
Well, I can remember a conversation we had in the past when you said one of the main purposes now in the preparations to build the next temple, you basically have everything ready. The construction capability could take place very quickly. The priests have been trained, all the implements. But now you have a purpose of helping people to recognize this spot, taking them up there, familiarizing them with their temple location. This is all preparation for actually erecting that temple on the Temple Mount, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Step one is erecting an altar, re-educating and reacquainting the Jewish people with the place. You would be shocked, even among religious Jews, even among people who call themselves rabbis and heads of yeshivot or rabbinical academies, the level of ignorance about the Temple Mount and where things are and how much we do know. It's just something that for the last 2,000 years, when a Jew is living in Poland or Morocco or Yemen, the Temple Mount is something that's completely irrelevant to his daily life. And so it was just sort of forgotten, and people didn't study these laws and learn them the way that they should have. Luckily, we preserved them. But they haven't been studying them. They haven't been learning them. And even if they have the book knowledge, they haven't been up to the place to see it themselves and to put that book knowledge into practical reality. That's the kind of thing that we have to change. We have to teach people about the place. Then once we get from there, then we move to an altar. This is exactly what happened when the Jews came back from the captivity in Babylon. First they built an altar, and then only later did they actually build a temple building.
There's a game plan in place by those who would like to build that temple, that Jewish temple on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, and it looks as if it's moving forward, according to the report from Rabbi Yoel Karen. This is a great report, Rabbi. Thank you so much for being available and staying on top of these things that are happening focused on the Temple Mount so we can report it to the rest of the world. Appreciate it so much. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks for having me. God bless.